Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another edition of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday, podcast1.com, and of course, Apple Podcasts. Thank you for checking it out. Thank you for listening, and thank you for subscribing. Coming to you from Los Angeles, recording this open on a Tuesday prior to our post day of Thursday. My schedule is extra wacky over the next couple of months, really. So just trying to pick my spots to bring you guys a new interview and some new content every Thursday here for the podcast. And I appreciate you guys checking it out, like I said, wherever you are around the world. Just finishing up a couple unexpected days here at the Sirius XM studios in Los Angeles, where I've been coming very often, more than once a month lately. I was just here to do some work for, again, the brand new facility they opened, and had a good time here with some great artists, including Stephen Piercy, Dave Navarro, coming by my show. I'll try to bring you those interviews as podcasts sometime in the near future. They're available right now, of course, if you're a Sirius XM subscriber, on demand on the Sirius XM app. Like I tell you, the interviews you hear on this show, most of them at least, originated on my show Volume, the channel Volume, the show Trunk Nation, on channel 106, which is live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. Replay now at a new time of 10 to midnight Eastern, all on Volume channel 106. The show is Trunk Nation, talking rock with you every day, Monday through Friday. Check it out. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, please come on board and become a subscriber and get involved in all of this stuff live as it happens. Here on the podcast, I give you a tiny little taste of some of the things that I do on that show on a daily basis. Coming up this weekend, I'm at Exit 111, which, of course, is a massive, massive rock festival, and that is going down in Manchester, Tennessee. I'll be hosting it all 3 days. Extremely excited for that. And from there, I go right to San Diego and jump on the Megadeth cruise the second day it sails. I'll be getting on in San Diego and hopefully staying on for the whole time. There's some potential issues with that I'm not 100% sure about as far as the port and all that, but hopefully on for the duration and doing my Volume show from the cruise the entire week. So be sure to listen from the high seas and hear everything live as it happens with all the great bands on board that. And of course, the big question there remains, do we get and do we see Dave Mustaine on the ship, and to what degree will he perform? So Exit 111, followed by Mega Cruise, and then the Dio Bowling stuff is coming up. I've got a Last in Line show October 19th. I'm hosting in Tulsa at the IDL Ballroom. Tons of good stuff. The best thing to do to keep up is follow on Twitter at Eddie Trunk for info, news, and updates. EddieTrunk.com is the website, Instagram at Eddie Trunk, and a fan page as well on Facebook. But Twitter is where you will get the most accurate and up-to-date information from me on all of the stuff going on, and there is a ton. Houston, I'm coming back there soon for Foamhenge. Just the next couple months, just absolutely crazy. Follow along, and I hope to see you if you're attending some of these events, and should be a good time. Hey, before we go any further, let me tell you about Pluto TV. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV, it's the easy, completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What could you possibly be waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. Pluto TV. So very quick open here because we got two interviews for you, and both of them this week are going to take you back to the 70s, which for me is my favorite era for rock music. And we're going to open the show with an interview with Pat Travers. I had a chance to spend time with Pat when I did my radio show from Shawnee, Oklahoma. Pat was added on to a Deep Purple show in Shawnee a few weeks ago as the opening act, and Pat jammed with Deep Purple that night. He's a great guy. It's always fun to talk to him. I'll be seeing him at Foamhenge, actually, coming up. His band kicks ass, and we had a great little visit and drop-by from Pat Travers that I'm going to bring to you to open this week's podcast. And then second, I will have Frank Domino and Punky Meadows from the band Angel. Just about a week ago, Angel have released their first new album in a really long time. It's called Risen. It's out now. If you were a fan of these guys in the 70s and you're aware of them, it's definitely something you should check out. They just wrapped up some touring as well. And great guys. And really, you know, it's interesting because obviously it's not all the original members. But in the day and age that we're in now, okay, where we have bands with one or no original members, or maybe the original member is like the bass player or the drummer, Angel, as it's currently constituted, is the original singer, Frank Domino, and the original guitar player, Punky Meadows. So that's pretty good. And the other guys are obviously, you know, killer musicians as well. So be sure to check it out if you were a fan of that band. They are out doing stuff again and have a new record out. We'll talk a little bit about that with Frank and Punky, who came by my studio in New York City a few weeks ago, just before they left for, I believe, a tour of Japan. So a lot to cover. We're definitely going to get 70-centric on this week's podcast. Pat Travers and Angel. We'll start with Pat. We'll follow with Angel. Enjoy the interviews on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast, and thanks for listening.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, just want to say a big thank you guys for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. And we'd like to ask a small but very important favor of you, and it'll only take a few minutes. And if you're one of the very first people to do it, Podcast One will make it worth your time, literally. We need you to complete a very short survey. And I know you're hammered with these surveys and customer reaction stuff probably constantly, but it would really help me out if you would do this. Really short survey, because the information you give us can help make things better for the show and you as a listener. All I ask is that when you get a second, go to podcastone.com/survey, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.com, podcastone.com/survey. The first 250 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. And two grand prize winners will be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. How about that? Free money. It's a win-win. Our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us cater to needs of you as a listener. So please do me a favor and maybe win some money. Just go to podcastone.com/survey, answer some quick questions, and potentially make some money along the way. And thank you for being a dedicated listener to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome back. Eddie Trunk, the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Our first interview is with Pat Travers. As I mentioned, this is coming to you from Shawnee, Oklahoma, just before Pat opened for Deep Purple that night a couple weeks ago. Be seeing Pat at Foamhenge coming up in Houston. Fun guy to talk to, some great tunes, great guitar player. Enjoy the conversation. Good to see you, man.
Eddie, it's awesome.
I'm going to move your microphone.
Oh, yes.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
There you go. Now
okay.
We can hear you properly.
Yeah.
There we got you. Good to see you, Pat.
It's awesome to see you. I've got David Pastorius.
Hello. David, your bass player.
Yeah, and Tommy Craig on drums.
We don't have a mic for Tommy, but Tommy is here. Tommy, good to see you as well.
That cruise we did was awesome because all those bands like King's X and Tesla and Extreme.
Oh, my God. Frank Hannon's still going off about you jammed with Frank or something, right?
Right, we did. We got up. But I know, you know, I've met all those guys, and they kind of appreciate what I do. So that was cool.
Do you enjoy doing the cruises? You're going to be on the Blue Cruise.
And you're on that
one,
too.
Yeah, I broadcast this show on those cruises.
It looks very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very esoteric lineup, right?
Oh, you're going to give it a kick in the pants.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's what I like to do.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. So what? This is a one-off for you on the Purple Tour, right?
Yeah, you know, actually, I go way back with Deep Purple. First of all, I was a huge fan when I was 14, 13, with Richie and Hush and Kentucky Woman and all that stuff. And I'd just gotten a guitar. I was 12 years old. But then I moved to England in 75. And in 76, my manager at the time was chummy with some of the guys from Purple because they were from Birmingham, England. And so I met them all. I met Glenn Hughes, and Glenn and I have, done some recording. And he's going to be on that cruise,
Glenn's
too.
An old friend. He's amazing. So, my God, Glenn can still sing
unbelievably. He never lost.
It's amazing. It was that version of Purple, not
it was. It was Tommy Bolin was in the band. But then later in 81, Richie Blackmore, we did a tour with Rainbow, a co-headlining tour, and that was, so I know Roger and
right
you know it was I got a connect, and I saw Deep Purple in 1972 in Montreal when they were doing Machine Head, and Richie was just like, he had anytime his guitar went out of tune, he had two guys, he had a catcher and a he'd just like throw it over his head, the white Strat, a guy behind him would catch it, another guy would run over and put another
guitar.
I think
he threw a lot of things.
He threw. he was awesome.
I think him throwing things may be a reason why he's not playing tonight in this band anymore,
Pat. It might be. Actually, Richie and I got along really well, but I could see where it would be difficult to deal with him on a long-term basis.
You mentioned when you walked in, too, because I had forgotten about this, that you did a tour opening for Rush, too, right?
My very first tour of the U.S. in 1978 in the winter was with Rush, and they weren't they had gold records, but they got no airplay and they got no press, but we did all the sheds in the Midwest and they sold out every night. It was a fantastic tour for us.
You are Canadian, right?
Yes, so I was born in Toronto.
How long did you live in Canada? Because you've lived in Florida for a long time, right?
I left Canada when I just turned 21 and went to England. But here's a Rush story. In about 74, I was living in Toronto. And I went, I had a date with a girl, and she wanted to go to a musical in downtown Toronto in the afternoon, which we did. And then we went for a beer at a club on Yonge Street, and we walked in, and there was myself, the gal I was with, the bartender, and the waiter, and that was it. And then after a few minutes, the band came on, and it was Rush, and they played all of Fly By Night, and it was just me and
my
girlfriend.
God.
And, you know, for some reason, I never brought that up to them. I never mentioned that.
I saw you with three people.
Yeah, less than that. It was, you know, we were the only paying customers. But
Billy Gibbons tells a story in the new ZZ Top documentary, and Billy Gibbons tells this story about when they first started touring, they actually played a show and there was a curtain, and the curtain went up as they started playing their first song, and there was literally one person in the room. One guy standing in the middle of the floor with a beer and bopping his head, and then after like two songs, it felt so, the guy felt so awkward, he started to leave. He turned around, and Billy said from the stage, he said, no, don't leave, because we need one, at least one person to keep playing. And he said they played their full set and that was it. And Billy said, They refer to this guy as the guy because that's all they know him as.
Yeah.
But Billy said to this day they still see him showing up at the shows.
Isn't that something?
So did you ever have crazy things like that when you were starting out?
Absolutely, because that situation that Rush were in, they were in a club that they played five or six nights a week,
right.
Did four sets a night, and what I saw was their Saturday afternoon matinee. So I did all of that, and the matinees were the worst, especially in Quebec, because they were on Sundays, you know, and it's like you would have been up till 3 or 4 a.m. the night before.
Right.
And you got to come back at 2:00 in the afternoon. And it's terrible because the lights are on and it stinks and you're not in the mood and there's nobody there, but you still got to play. But that's how you get good at your
Well, gig, you know, when you walked in here and saw me just before we went on the air, you said what a lot of people say when they see me in the place we're in right now, which is, you know, honestly, very farm, you know, right out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not far from Oklahoma City, but where we are is right in Shawnee, Oklahoma. I mean, there's not a lot around, you know. You're not
seeing it. There's a lot of people that like great music.
That's my point.
Here.
People ask me all the time, well, you go there so much, it's like, what's going on there? And my friend Brad first brought me here when he did the first Rocklahoma back in the day, and ever since it's just opened so much opportunities, because I find, look, I'm not a musician, so you could speak on this better than I, but I find that the people here are so appreciative that you take the time to connect with them and come see them, play for them, meet them, talk to them as I would, whatever it is, that they're very, very passionate rock fans in these parts of the country.
Now,
did you always find that, Tori?
Yes, absolutely. I found that and even like further south down in Odessa and Texas and those little oil towns and stuff, it was the same thing. They were just huge rock fans, and the support was amazing because, you know, they didn't get a lot of artists, and then when they did, they had to drive, you know, 60, 80, 100 miles to get to the shows.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people I meet. Because I travel now probably more than I ever have in my life the last few years. And I can't tell you how many people I meet that say to me, hey, Eddie, thanks for knowing there's more than New York and L.A. out there.
Yeah.
Because I'm from the New York market. That's where I live my whole life. But there's more than New York. And I do a lot in New York and L.A., don't get me wrong. But it's great to connect with people in these other places.
For example, a few weeks ago, we did a show in Canada in Saskatoon, which is this northern city in the middle of the plains.
I think Todd Kearns is from there.
Awesome. They are just the best people, and they come from a couple of hundred miles around, and it's the demographic is totally broad, but they just love and support music, and that's a good. And then you put on your best shows, you know. You really want to impress.
Yeah, they're not jaded. They're
no,
excited that you're
all
there, and as long as you deliver, they're gonna bring it back to you. That's
exactly
really something I've always seen. Okay, so a couple things I need to ask you, but before we get to that, I want to make sure so that we don't run out of time and I don't shortchange you. Tell everybody, because you'd said before we went on the air, there's a couple things you got going on now you want to let people know about. So let's make sure you get that out.
Right. With my band, with Tommy and David, we've been working on what is going to be a new album next year. And when I say album, I mean old school album.
Good.
Obviously, it'll be digital, but it's designed to be an album with a gatefold, tons of photos.
Well, so you'll do vinyl, you'll do CD,
we'll have all
of
that.
Right.
But my idea is to make, because I used to make albums and I was good at it.
Of course.
Not just the content, but the artwork and everything. So we're focusing on that. And we've been in the studio already and recorded a few songs, and we released one. It's called Racing the Storm. It's available as a download and streaming. And there's a video on YouTube. I think it says Rock Legend Pat Travers, Racing the Storm. It's a great tune. And then this other thing, we did an album right around Christmas. It's 1940s era, Big Band Swing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we did...
Rocked up or in that format?
Four of the tunes are rocked up with the trio, and we'll play one of those tonight, Sing, Sing, Sing. And then I got the full-on horn section and upright bass and Woody Herman's touring drummer, and I did Opus One and Apple Honey and Take the A-Train, and it sounds awesome, and it's doing great, so... Swing and Racing the Storm.
So you're playing as a trio now with Tommy and David. That's the band.
Yeah.
And David, how long have you been in playing with Pat now?
I think I've been about 3 years now.
Yeah.
About, Tommy, we don't have a mic for Tommy, but...
Going on 4 years.
Going on four years.
Yeah,
so you got a killer power trio here.
Yeah.
And David, I mentioned as soon as I was introduced to you, I mean, you're a bass player and you can't not acknowledge your last name
as
Pistorius. Jocko was your...
Nephew.
You're Jocko's nephew.
I'm Jocko's nephew.
Wow. Did you see the doc that Robert Trujillo did?
Yeah.
Did you like it? Did you feel it was good?
Yeah, it was actually really good.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job with it. I'm actually on the soundtrack.
Oh,
I used to play with a rapper named Tech Nine.
Oh, right. Okay.
Kansas City. So I'm on the song with him. It's a song called Shine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so Jocko was your uncle.
Yes.
And you knew him, I assumed? Or?
It's funny. I only met him like twice in my life.
I think the documentary kind of opened your eyes to him, right?
Well, a little bit. But, I mean, I grew up hearing his music, but he died when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I started at 15 and absolutely had nothing to do with him.
Curious about it. Being a bass player had anything to do with the fact that he was your uncle.
I had a buddy that played bass in school and he took out the bass one day and started playing. I was like, what instrument is that? And he's like, it's a bass, dummy. That's what your uncle played. So,
wow.
Like my original heroes were guys like Robert Trujillo, Flea,
right.
Steve Harris,
right.
More like the rock metal kind of thing.
Right. All right. So I got to tell you this story, Pat. You're going to love this.
Okay.
So. Just before you were, throw the headset on Tommy so we can hear from Tommy. Anything you want to plug or promote or mention before I want to make sure you get a second in here.
I'm pretty good. Just the scum rocks that you had a part in. That's still out there. It's being shopped for the TV show. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So we're still waiting to hear on that.
All right, cool.
You'll know about that, and that's about it.
All right, cool. So Pat, there's a band that's touring with Purple tonight.
Right, yeah.
They're a young band. They're in their early 20s. I just had them on before you. Cool band. They're called Joyous Wolf. Straight up cool young rock band. So I was asking them if they knew about you, and they said, we've heard, you know, they're 23 or whatever. We heard of them. We hear Boom Boom. Everybody said Boom Boom. They said to me that when I – on Twitter said you were coming on. They said, if you look, everybody's just typing boom, 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 boom. So I was just like, okay, yeah. I said, the all respect to Boom Boom. I said, Snorting Whiskey is the song for me with
right,
that, right?
Yeah.
So they go, what? I said, Snorting Whiskey, Drinking Cocaine. They said, well, we thought you said that wrong. That's really what the song is called. And I said, so I'm educating the youth about Snorting Whiskey, Drinking Cocaine. But here's the story about this, right? First of all, I'm sure you've told the story a zillion times, but for the audience maybe that never heard it, indulge me one last time and tell the story of that, because it had to do with Pat Thrall, right?
Yeah, Pat Thrall, who was played guitar in my band from San Francisco Bay Area, and we were recording our Crash and Burn album, or at least rehearsing the music for it in North Miami at a rehearsal studio. And rehearsals were set for approximately 2 p.m. every day. And I would get there early because I had my four-track tape and I was working on songs, etc. And the other guys would show up, you know, 2, 2.30, maybe 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, no Pat Thrall. 4 o'clock, no Pat Thrall. 5 o'clock, the big studio door gets poof, kicked in. And here he comes. He's got his girlfriend. Her right boob is out. and you know,
as it would.
They're trying to keep their heads are like this, but their bodies underneath them are, you know.
Swaying.
So I said, PT, what have you been doing? And he goes, snorting whiskey and drinking cocaine. And I mean, he really said that. And I had that riff, the digga digga da, and I went, I got a song. And I wrote that song in about 12 minutes. And he doesn't even really remember doing that.
But he, because he was so banged up from the night before, he reversed it.
Yeah.
So listen to this. Now, this is where I'm going to jump in on this story. I told this to the guys that were just in here before. So, do you know the show Counting Cars? Danny Coker.
We did a we played it as Vamped
in Vegas
last year. Yeah,
great spot.
And he recorded Snortin' Whiskey, and I play guitar on it.
Okay,
So
you know all that.
Yeah.
All right. So he has a band called Count 77.
Right.
Great guitar player in his band, Stoney Curtis.
Right. Yeah.
Great player. And so. Danny's a friend. Stoney's a friend. So like 6 months ago, they're playing a car show, ironically, here in Oklahoma. It was over by Tulsa. And I happen to be in town. So he says, hey, come down, you know, come to the car. We'll hang afterwards, whatever. So I go. I see his band. And then afterwards, he says, come back to the hotel. Let's have some drinks. So we go to the hotel bar. Me, some friends, Danny, his group, we're all hanging out.
So, obviously, his wife wasn't with him.
No, she was not there. Corey was not there.
There would have been no drinks in the bar.
So we sit down and we start having a couple drinks. And Danny sit next to me. I said to Danny, I said, hey, man, that was a killer version of Snortin' Whiskey you played tonight. And he said, yeah. He goes, thanks, man. And I go, and then Danny turns to me and he goes, do you know that that's actually something you can do? I said, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, Snortin' Whiskey is a thing. I said, get the hell out of here. Now, judging by your face, you've never heard that either, right?
No.
So he said to me, oh, yeah, you can snort whiskey. I said, get the hell out of here. He goes, yeah, man, it gets you drunk and high, like high and drunk instantly. I go, get the fuck out of here. Pat, I swear to God.
You did it.
He goes to the bar. You guys remember the show Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
We were like human Beavis and Butthead. Danny goes to the bar and he orders a shot of Jack or whatever it was, puts a little straw in it. Come on, there's video of this. Come on, we're doing it. I'm going first. Pat, grown men, like four idiots. Yeah. We snorted whiskey.
I mean, I've heard people talk about it, but I can't believe. Now,
it's a thing. It's actually a thing. It burns like a mother.
Oh, it's got to, yeah.
You get a big head rush.
Yeah.
And it does get you fucked up.
I guess it does.
But we'll try that later.
It's a thing. I'm telling you. It's absolutely a thing, Tommy. And I was like, so it became this, like, we went around the table. It became sort of like this dare thing. Like, Danny did it first. Yeah. And when you do it and it hits, you're like, you know, and you're standing up, like, holding your head. And then he's like, all right, man, get in there. And somebody, of course, everybody's got this stupid video. Camera, somebody's shooting it, and they give it to me. I'm like, I can't not do it, so I do. I'm like, oh, my eyes are burning.
Oh, man.
And we went around, Stoney did it, we went around the table, and it's great. And then I researched it, and I was just like, is this really a thing?
It makes sense.
And
yeah,
I looked it up.
You get alcohol, it goes right into your bloodstream.
Yeah, and they said, of course, if you do it to excess, it could kill you. You don't want to do it.
Right, because you'll OD on the alcohol.
It's a real thing. So we did that in your honor that night,
man. Well, jeez. I don't want to recommend
still corrupting people.
The whole point to that tune was it was so silly, you know. No, I wasn't advocating anything.
But you started
that's
something.
Weird. No, it's true. I guess I never occurred to me that somebody would actually do that.
Well, me and Danny Coker are the two stupid idiots that actually did it.
Ozzy snorted the ants, right?
Allegedly. You know, that's in Motley Crue's movie, The Dirt, came out, and they reenacted that scene. And Jakey Lee, who was in Ozzy's band at the time that allegedly happened, came out after the movie aired and said, I was there. It was not, you know, there was like a crumb on the floor. It was an exaggerated. That's what Jake is saying. Now, you know, Jake may have been snorting stuff.
It's true. Knowing Ozzy at that period, I would buy it. I would believe it. You know, I mean, he just was crazy enough to do that sort of thing.
Yeah. Speaking of knowing Ozzy, here's something I always wanted to ask you. Being such a great player as you are, most, if not all of your career has been as a solo artist, right? Did you ever have the desire to join a band, or did people like Ozzy or others reach out to you to ever have opportunities to join other musicians?
When I was in the UK, and I think my second album was out, and I was chummy with guys in Thin Lizzy, especially Brian Robertson and Scott Gorham.
Right.
We ran around together. And Brian, at the time, injured his hand, and they had a tour opening for Queen in the U.S., which was going to be, for them, their big thing, you know. But Brian couldn't do it. And so I came over to rehearse, to jam with Phil and them. And I was just so gung-ho about my own thing. And I remember one of my buddies saying, you don't want to play with Phil Lynott, do you? You know, and as much as I loved him and everything, I
said
I
it was because he
so,
was he was
no,
deep into. I mean, we know.
No, it had nothing to do with that. It was just Phil wasn't really a player. He was a songwriter and a singer and a rocker. You know,
right.
And I was, you know, and I still am reaching for something a little kind of more sophisticated. I love what Phil did. I think he was amazing.
Right.
So I did go and rehearse with them, and we played a bit, but that didn't work out.
So it would have been you and Gorham.
Me and Scott, as the two guitar players. I did have Scott play on my third album, Putting It Straight, and Brian Robertson played on my second album, Making Magic. So, yeah, I was. And then there was a little thing with Aerosmith. I see you have their T-shirt.
Love Aerosmith. Really? When Joe was out?
Joe wasn't in the band. This was 82, 83, and we did a big tour with them, and I got chummy with Steven, and they had these two other guitar players in the
Crespo
band.
And Dufay.
Yeah, and I don't think things were working out really good, and I kept kind of getting invited. One time I found myself with Tommy, right, the drummer?
Joey,
sorry.
Oops. That's me.
Yeah, in his room, just somehow or another, and we never really talked. I was chummy with Steven and Tom, the bass player, and that was about it, you know. But one day, because they always rented, or they got the whole floor, and somebody said, hey, you got to come up. And so I went up, and I'm in a hotel room with Steven and all the guys. I remember Tom really talking up Steven, going, Steven's great. He brings out great things.
Tom Hamilton. Yeah. He probably had a song because Steven was notoriously in bad shape at that time.
He was. Right. And that was so, you know, I wasn't interested in getting involved with that thing. And I still, once again, was working on my own thing. But it was obvious that they were looking or thinking about another guitar player, and brought me up to hang out with everybody, and specifically to hang out with Joey, because he kind of called the shots in that department.
Right. Well, and then Joe Perry ended up coming back, so if you would have taken the gig, it would have been really short-lived.
Unfortunately, nothing would have worked out there. But I love Steve Tyler. He's, you know, people ask me what he's like. I said, if you see him on TV,
you
know what he's like.
Yeah,
he's,
I think he's
just like that.
Even I just saw him recently, even at 71, whatever he is, I still think he's the best frontman singer, American rock frontman singer that we have today.
And here's the thing, you know, back then when we toured, he wasn't in great shape. But his voice never abandoned.
Still?
It just... right up until he would pass out on stage right after Dream On. Right. He sang full balls to the wall.
That's crazy.
I was always impressed with his vocals. And yeah, nice guy.
All right. So this is a one-off for you for Purple, right?
Yep.
You're just doing this show.
And then
you've got other dates coming up. People go to your website to see the dates?
Yeah, and our Facebook page. And I guess we got Instagram. We got it all. And
The real Pat Travers.
The real.
So I do Travers. Twitter. I hit you on Twitter at Pat Travers Band. Is that not you anymore?
That's the one I was using at Pat Travers Band on Twitter?
I don't know, but I didn't know we had a Twitter.
Yeah,
well, somebody does, but that's the one I was.
Yeah,
somebody's claiming to be you that has it. But.
Oh well, that's not you.
But you've got dates. You're going to keep playing. You're going to get this music out, and
we're going to record a video tape and record a show in the Bay Area in November. And I'm going to have Pat Thrall come back and play on a few songs. Yeah.
And, of course, you'll be able to see Pat and his killer band on board the On the Blue Cruise, which will be coming up
in
April of next year, which is just such a great environment to see music and so much fun with all the different bands. And I look forward to those every year, even ones like that, which not necessarily all of it's in my wheelhouse as far as the music, but it's a great setting to be on that ship, and he'd get turned on to some new things too.
No,
so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so
I'm looking. That's going to be interesting.
It will be. Yeah. It'll be a good time. My thanks to Pat Travers for joining me on the Eddie Trunk podcast. We'll come back and stay 70-centric with Frank and Punky from Angel next.
This is the Eddie Trunk podcast.
Eddie Trunk back with you on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Frank Dimino, Punky Meadows of Angel. They've been on my show before individually, now on the show together because they are now working together under the band name Angel, reviving the band, the brand, and doing live shows and a brand new record called Risen. To talk all about it, here is Frank and Punky, interview number 2 on the Eddie Trunk podcast. My good buddy, Mr. Frank Dimino, is here. Good to see you, man.
Great to see you.
Get up on that mic so we can hear you, buddy.
All right.
There we go. Always funny when we got to tell lead singers to make sure they get up on the mic.
I'm a very quiet guy unless I'm singing.
Punky Meadows is here. Good to see you, Punky.
Hey, Eddie, how's it going? Now you got me curious. I want to know about all these lawsuits and stuff.
Well, he just said there's some. He said what he said on the air, which is all I know, is that a former member's wife.
Do you want me to spoil it? Because I looked it up.
Yeah, what's going on?
So it's Picaro's ex-wife, or former wife, because he passed away.
Right.
And she has been alleging for years now that the rest of the band has been keeping the exact amount of royalties they've been receiving, you know, sort of out of her vision, and she believes it's worth more than what she's been getting.
So there's a lawsuit, and it's getting ugly, and it's causing problems in the band, and it's been going on for years. And he said, so they're probably going to be resting Toto for a bit because
that's a shame.
The whole thing, he was just telling the whole thing with their song Africa, which he was saying was always to him like one of his least favorite songs they ever did. And
a great song, but
he just says, it's a goofy song, whatever. But then Weezer covered it. It's got this whole life with young kids now. So he said they're doing these shows, and they're seeing 15, 20-year-old kids showing up because of Africa, and Weezer covering it and this whole thing.
That's funny.
So they're going to go out and play and whatever. So, well, we wish them the best.
Yeah,
and Danny Farrow is here as well. Who,
what's up, brother?
I say Danny's like the linchpin of all things Angel-related. Right. Everything revolves around the orbit of Danny. If you really think about it, Danny is the reason why we're all sitting here, I think, right
Danny
now.
Has resurrected all of us.
He really is. It's the Danny Farrow resurrection tour. So, but Danny's story, I think, is really, I mean, even though Danny wasn't an Angel back in the day and doesn't have the history, your story in all of this is really important because you were essentially such a huge fan of Angel.
Oh, yeah.
That
for sure.
You went and sought out Punky initially and, of course, did that great record that you guys did together,
thank you, three years
ago?
Yeah.
4 2016,
years ago. I guess.
Wasn't
yeah. It? Yeah, 2016.
Three years ago. So you got Punky, for years people ask me whatever happened to Punky Meadows, where's Punky Meadows?
Mm-hmm.
So you
get Punky back out there. You get some live shows going and that record you guys do together and all that, which is wonderful. Then my buddy Frank over here, who every time I go to Vegas, and we have so many, we're friends and so many mutual friends.
Right.
You did your own record.
Yes.
Which came out, what, 2 years ago?
Yes.
3 years?
3 years ago.
So around the same time as
Punky's. Just before his came out. Yeah. Just before Punky's came out.
Yeah. So now we got the lead singer of Angel doing a record. We got the lead guitar player of Angel doing a record. And then, of course, Punky came through Vegas. You jumped up with him, right?
Yes, I did.
Did the tower, and we hadn't done that like in 30 years or something. Yeah. So that was a big deal. It was a lot of fun. That was cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
So it didn't take long. I don't think any genius could see that this is really something stronger together, maybe. Let's get the team sort of together. Let's go out and play. And as I said before you got here, you're now out under the name Angel, and you've done shows under the name Angel.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In today's music environment, there is nobody that can be critical of you guys using the name, because you have the original lead singer and the original guitar player. You've got bands out there with no original members, or maybe just the drummer using the name.
Yeah,
you've got the two, you know, real front guys of the band here together.
Well, and I also think when we started, we weren't trying to fool anyone. It was Angel featuring, you know, Punky and Frank. So, I mean, everyone kind of knew what was going on. It was the two of us playing some of our stuff, our solo stuff and the Angel stuff, and as we kept moving forward, you know, we started to evolve and the band started to click together more. So I mean, it was only the natural thing to do, you know.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people were hoping that would happen and could see that happening with you guys both out there. So let me ask you this, why not did you because you and we all got together, what, that award show in Vegas about two, 3 years ago. And I got all of you, the original band, all in the same room doing a podcast, which we did a great interview at a great time. And at that point, there seemed like the only guy that maybe seemed like he wasn't sure was Greg.
Right.
Because Greg has a big business thing going on in his whole other world these days. But now that you've put this together, you've got six people in the band.
Yeah.
But did you think about talking to Felix or to Barry?
I think the time to do that, that would have been back then. And if you don't move forward, you know, then everything is forgotten. I mean, I'm in touch with Barry all the time. He's my brother. I mean, I love Barry. I mean, I'll play with Barry anytime, anywhere. I always try and get him to do some stuff with me locally and stuff. But, you know, Barry has different issues that he's working through. So he really couldn't commit to doing this. And with the other guys, it was like, it's more of like time consuming or time constraints. So, you know, putting the band together that we have now was the easiest thing to do moving forward. You know, I don't know what the future lies ahead for us. I mean, right now the band is sounding great. Punky and I feel really good about it. We feel great about the album we just did. But we're just moving forward. You know, I mean, I don't want to. It's not like we're leaving anyone behind. If anyone wanted to jump on at any time, it would have been when we had that award show. And really, it didn't click.
We talked about it.
I remember distinctly after we did that interview, which was the first time you guys were all in a room together, I think, for in years, you had said. But I remember I broke away, and I think I did another interview. I think Dee Snider or somebody showed up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but you guys all went to dinner.
Yes.
Because I remember you, Frank, you were saying, well, this is going to be interesting because we've never sat down and had a meal together. And did that dinner go well?
It went great.
Yeah. Actually, we discussed putting Angel back together. And Greg was really into it at the time. He said he didn't want to do it. And he said he was even thinking about, because I always said we'd have to put money into Angel, you know, to make it work. But Greg said he would be interested in putting money into it too. But then he just never followed up on it. So, and we talked about him guesting on the album too, but he just never followed up on it. So,
well, and I think that's the thing as far as following up on the whole.
Well, having the real drive to really want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not. It's not 1978, unfortunately.
This is exactly right. I mean, and some people don't understand that, you know, some guys don't want to go back out there and do it again. They really don't. Right. They don't want to go through the whole thing of doing it. I mean, it would be nice if everyone could do it in their living room, but you can't.
Right. Yeah, they talk about it like they want to do it, but when it really comes down to doing it, you either shit or get off the pot. You know, you have to do it. And we just, you know, we love what we're doing, so, you know.
And you gotta be willing to want to put the work in, because it's not easy.
No, it isn't.
People think, we're going to get back out there, we're going to have a couple buses and a bunch of crew people, and we're going to just roll in and roll out. You got to put a lot of the work in.
It just isn't like that anymore. Yeah.
I see that all the time with people who have been in bands. There are artists who I get asked about every day and haven't done anything in 15, 20, 25 years, and people ask me why I think that is, because I have a theory that if you sit on the sidelines for a really long time and then you get back into the where the business is now and how the business works, and you're not prepared to want to put that work and effort in,
it's hard.
You don't stand a chance. You're going to be gone again in 30 seconds because
absolutely.
You're going to be, whoa, this isn't what I remember it being.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Punky, you can speak to that because you are, Frank, you continued to play you were always jamming in Vegas. Right. You were kind of around it. You knew where it was at. But Punky, we've talked about this forever. You were out of the picture for a long time, so you got that itch to want to play again, and now jumping back into the business as you have for a few years. You made your own record. What's your observations of where things are at?
Well, you know, I always wanted to play. I mean, I never stopped playing guitar, as you know. You know, I played and wrote songs all the time, and I used to watch your show and say, I should be on the Eddie Trunk show.
We didn't know how to find you until Danny came along.
And then, Danny came along.
Then the show got canceled once you started playing again.
Well, you got to get that show back on again.
Hey, but I got an interview on your podcast.
That's right. That's right. But once we, you know, you know, I had to kind of come to realization what the business was like too, as you said, now than it was before. But once I did that and got it all together, you know, it was cool. I mean, it's tough, but it's worth it when you get them playing on stage with the people. That's what we love doing. I love writing music and creating music, you know, and recording and playing. So
we were just talking about this last night when the both of us were walking down the hallway to the hotel, and both of us are going, "Where the hell are the roadies anyway?"
I know.
We're carrying all this gear.
Frank, remember the roadies? We even bring our luggage up to the hotel room, and now we got to carry our shit ourselves, man.
But that's exactly my point. Yeah. Is there's going to be guys like, you know, none of us are kids in this room,
right?
But they're
wait, speak for yourself.
We're big kids.
But you're absolutely right. But
yeah.
There are bands that'll come back, like a band like you guys. Your whole history in the big era was the 70s,
right?
And then the guys come back and they're like, okay, well, you know, where's the buses? Yeah. Where's my assistant, right, where's the room service, the caterer, is like, well, it's not like that. You might be anymore. In a dressing room that's got no bathroom, so take a piss now. You know, it happens.
We still do the best we can. We do the best we can. We hire some people to help us out and that sort of thing.
But my point is, if the mentality has to be.
Right.
And I'm not saying this is the case with any of your former members or anything like that. I'm just saying in general across the board that fans don't understand the mentality has to be that you are prepared for it and you want to do it. You're doing it for the love of doing it again.
Well, that's the thing, and I think it's in our blood. It's not something that we want to do. It's something we have to do as far as playing goes, you know. And so you don't mind putting all that work. And we can play in a small 100-seater club and have just the greatest time playing there as we can playing in front of 10,000 people, because it's just, we love playing for people and we like to get on stage and do it. So, you know, that's really what it gets down to, I think. When you say about the drive, it's because you really have to. You have to really want to do it. I mean, it's not something you just fantasize about. You got
to
want to do it.
It's the drive to want to do it, and the drive in the van for the 15 hours. Exactly. You got to be able to do both.
Exactly.
When was the last time, besides when I did that interview with you guys in that award show in Vegas a few years ago? Do you guys remember the very last Angel gig with the big, you know, the big production, the big band, the
I remember
guys.
The last Angel show.
What was the very last Angel show of that? Because you did a version of the band later. There was other, but I mean of the big production the guys.
The last time original Angel played was on the Marathon Tour. And that was in
80, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was with Mahogany Rush and Humble Pie.
That was cool.
So was that for the White Hot record?
We weren't in costume.
That was live without
we weren't in costume
around
then,
that,
though.
That time.
We weren't in costume then, so we didn't do our stage show then.
So we didn't do our stage show,
but when was our last stage show?
What was the last big all-white stage show, the big...
79, was it?
Yeah, probably 79, yeah.
And do you remember anything about that? Well, the band stayed together, you just dropped the image.
Right. Yeah, we dropped the white, and we didn't have the logo talking because there was too many bands on that marathon tour. So,
but that was going to be what was it? Bad publicity or the record right. yeah, yeah. called? That was yeah. the cover of that, and it became Sinful, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're saying that because the bad publicity and the original cover for that, which was you guys out of the costumes,
right.
was scrapped to
right.
keep the image of the white and right. all that.
Yeah, Neil Bogart said, I didn't sign a punk band. Get back in the studio and give me a pretty face picture.
Right, but what you're saying is when you went out and toured, you eventually still did that.
Yes.
Well, you know what happened? We kind of felt like we were being typecast, as did Kiss. You know, they come in with the makeup, that sort of thing. So we thought we'd go out there in our rock clothes and all that sort of thing. But looking at hindsight, that was a mistake, really. You know, because the kids missed us in the costumes.
They did,
you know?
Yeah.
And when I look at pictures of that, we looked like just like any other band. I mean, our image is what made us stand apart from everybody else, which was so great. You know what I mean? Because I look at that image now and I say, wow, that was really cool. You know, back then I see pictures of us and just being in rock clothes. It was just mundane. It was like every other band around.
I think,
you
evolved too. And I think we probably would have went back anyway if we did a headlining tour. We probably would have went back to the costumes and the big logo talking anyway. I mean, that was a different kind of tour as well. I mean,
David Krebs did that tour for us, you know. Yeah. As you know, Krebs wanted to sign Angels so bad in the very beginning. You know, he got us on a conference call and said, if you guys don't sign with me, it's a mental masturbation, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Krebs was a really good guy. He put us on that marathon tour. Yeah.
So for the longest time, we talked about the fact, and I talked about the fact, because I never saw the classic Angel lineup in the show. I was too young. I just never saw it.
Yeah.
But, and I always... like lamented the fact, and so many others did, that there's no pro shot video of any of that stuff.
I know, right?
Suddenly stuff starts coming out. Danny, I sent you guys some links.
You sent me some
So it's stuff popping up on YouTube and somebody found footage and is starting, and they're putting like a website across it. Like, I don't know what the end game is that they're trying
probably
to accomplish.
Probably trying to
with
get
it.
Money to license it or something, you know.
Yeah, but have you guys seen that stuff that's popping
I
have up?
I've seen some of it. Yeah. Now there is a bunch of footage of us that what's his name? Danny, what's his name?
Kurt showed us a lot of he has some good footage.
Really good footage.
Kurt is the collector and the arbiter of finding all that stuff.
Right.
So I don't know if the Angel stuff was coming from Kurt that I saw posted online.
He has that footage, and he has more that we've seen. Me and Punky
saw a little bit of it.
He saw some of it. And the stuff that's being out there, this is some guy had this footage that you're seeing, and once in a while he'll release a clip or two. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it really is.
And then you sent me that one clip. It was a long clip. Yeah,
it was really cool. I mean, it was great just to see it because I had never even seen outside of the stuff that's in the Foxes movie.
Right.
You know, I'd never actually even seen it. And I was saying earlier, and I'm sure you guys agree with this, when you talk about the timeline of the original band and the look ending around 1980.
Right.
I'm assuming you'd agree that if you could have hung in there, you had no idea what was coming down the pike, but if you could have hung in there a few more years with the birth
MTV,
of MTV, we could have been talking about a very different story now.
Exactly.
You agree?
Yeah. Of course, we were definitely a visual band. You know, we were prime for MTV, but like you said, unfortunately, we broke up before MTV came on. So, but yeah, we were prime for that. And the thing about MTV, it broke bands overnight. Before that, you know, you had to go out and tour. You know, like Kiss did. You had to tour every city for years and to build a following up. MTV comes along and they play you 24 hours a day, all day long, and they break you overnight
and
like
boom.
That. So, you know,
I just watched a documentary that's coming out on the birth of MTV and how it all came together and how it was launched in the earliest days. And in the beginning, they'd play anything anybody sent to them because there was nothing.
The same five or six videos over and over again. I mean, Pat Benatar was one, and I can't remember who else, but it was exciting to see that, though, because before that, you couldn't see bands unless you watched Ed Sullivan or something back in the day.
And everyone had so many your favorite bands. You figure, how many times have people seen their favorite bands, you know what I mean? And you can't see them all at once, so when MTV came out, it's wow. Mm-hmm. You can see like all your different bands, and
I just had Billy Gibbons on this show on Monday from LA, and he was saying it's funny, it's in ZZ Top as a documentary coming out on them, and he was saying that, I mean, needless to say, MTV played an enormous part in ZZ Top's that whole wave with the Liberator, 10 million records or whatever, but he said that he he'll never forget hearing about MTV for the first time because he said he got a call from Frank Beard, the band's drummer, and like, turn on channel whatever. He goes, they're running some special for an hour and videos or something. And and then Billy's watching. He goes, he's 4, 5, 6 hours in. And he calls Frank back. Goes, how long is this special run for? He didn't realize it was a channel. Thought it was just like an hour. Someone's playing an hour of music. He goes, we should get our stuff over to them. And he's like, I've been up for 2 days. It's still on. He's like, funny. Oh shit, it's actually a channel.
That's funny.
Who knew?
That's hilarious.
Speaking of video, have you got, you guys of course were signed to Casablanca back in the day. There's a, I'm hearing there's a movie coming out on Neil Bogart. Have you guys heard about this?
I heard a little bit about it. I read about it, but I haven't heard much his more after that. Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Yeah,
I know Gene Simmons was trying to put together a movie with, about Neil Bogart at one time, but that fell through the cracks, I guess. So I don't
this
know.
Is legit. This is happening. It's started production very recently. I forget who they have playing Neil.
Oh, so it's already started?
Oh, yeah. They just started filming it.
Oh, wow.
And I forget who they said they had playing Neil Bogart in the movie. It's a biopic. Alex, see if you can Google that, and we'll come back with it after break. Google Neil Bogart biopic and see what you can get on it.
I think it's called Spinning Gold.
Spinning Gold.
Yeah.
Which I think is based on a book about Neil Bogart, which I couldn't find, but somebody said there's a book.
Yeah,
it's a really
know
cool
about
book
that,
to read.
Yeah.
But there's this. It's about him being this sort of P.T. Barnum character.
Yeah,
back
he was
in
a great
day.
Guy, Neil. I love.
Yeah, he was cool.
I love Neil.
He was awesome.
I didn't remember him at all. But I didn't know him at all. But people have said that he was quite a character too.
Well, he started Casablanca Records. He ran his credit cards up, and he had, I think, a Johnny Carson album out or something like that. You know, he was about to go under, and then of course he had signed up Kiss, and but they hadn't broken yet either. It took them 4 or 5 records to break, and then he got Donna Summer, and of course that stuff started to break, and then the Alive album came out, and then next thing you know, he was the Golden Boy of Hollywood. I mean, he was huge. And
well, he was. He also had Buddha Records, which was huge
before.
Casablanca.
Right?
Yeah.
And he hung with you guys, when you think about it, he hung in there with
absolutely.
Guys, right? I mean, how many studio records were there? 6?
Yeah.
5 studio.
5 in the live one.
In the live one.
So that's a pretty, I mean, given that you guys didn't have the multi-platinum
absolutely.
Huge shit thing,
yeah.
that's a pretty long commitment.
He believed in us. Yeah, he really believed in us. We sat down with him at the last time we had a meeting with him. He said, you know, he was going to forgive the debt that we had. He said, you guys are going to win the war. He believed in us. But once he got the axe, you know, Casablanca fell apart, and that he was the heart and soul of Casablanca, and so that's what did us in there. But Neil was a great guy. He really was cool.
Now I think Universal owns the catalog, right? Because didn't they do an Angel box set recently of all
the
records?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
Were you guys involved in any way?
No. They don't call us involved.
Did you get a copy?
I got a copy. They sent me about 10 copies. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I'd love.
I got them to a copy.
I'd love to get it. I don't even know where to get it because I saw it online, but I guess like anything, Amazon would probably have it, but I haven't seen it in a store or anything. Yeah. But what did they do to it? Did Danny? Is there anything else?
It's not remastered, but it sounds. You know, it sounds good. They got some. I think Dave Reynolds.
Dave Reynolds
stuff.
Did the copy.
I'm not
on
positive
the back.
If he did it for that album. You know, because there's so many. The Rock Candies now is putting out White
Candies,
Hot, Sinful,
and
Live Without a Net. I heard about that. So,
so Rock Candy, which
I think
a British
Reynolds
reissue
has
label.
More to do with that. Yeah, I forget who does it. I'll show it to you.
But Rock Candy, which is a British label that does CD reissues and does great stuff, Eric Oliver owns that.
Yeah,
and I think they now have because they've done the first two records.
Yeah, they did.
So
yeah.
I think that
was a nice package actually. That for. The first two records that they did.
Yeah, so now I think they're going to end up having the whole catalog, and they really do nice packages.
Yeah, they do.
They'll do new interviews with you guys. They'll remaster as best
they
can.
I think you guys, you guys did. Remember I said with Dave Reynolds, you guys did a little interview.
Yeah, I did. I talked with Dave Reynolds.
Is there any stuff on the Live Without a Net that didn't make the record? Are there any extra
I'm
songs?
Sure there is, but I don't know. It's been so long, I can't remember.
Yeah, it'd be great if they.
You know,
like
we did
tracks.
I know
off that that tour we did So Cold and
all
a
right.
couple of other tunes.
Those are some demos
that we were going to do on the next album, and we played them live. So I don't know if it's on. It might be might be an outtake out there. I'm not sure.
Those demos are out there though.
Yeah, those demos are out there. Yeah.
Well, wait, what did you find out about Alex about the Neil Bogart film? Neil Bogart biopic, Spinning Gold.
Oh, I found out a bunch about it, but there's a long article to dig into.
Okay, so but it's does it have a it's in production now, I think, right?
It is in production now. Samuel L. Jackson heads the cast. There's going to be a bunch of people doing.
Neil was white, I think.
No, you can't be Samuel Jackson. Can't be playing Neil.
There's a whole bunch of people involved. In it. Was yeah, so there's going to be cameos from people playing people, obviously, in these acts. Kiss, Parliament, Village People, Isley Brothers, Gladys Knight, Bill Withers, Curtis Mayfield.
They don't say Angel? Who's playing Punky and Frank?
We better ring them up.
Somebody better get on it now. It's in production, Danny.
We got to get
out. You're the linchpin. Get in there. Get on the phone to Hollywood right now.
So Samuel Jackson's going to play George Clinton. Kenan Thompson is playing Berry Gordy. Jason Isaacs is playing Al Bogert, which is his father. Jason Derulo is Ron Isley. The list goes on and on.
Neil Bogart?
I'm trying to find it. There's a lot
I
in
thought
here.
Somebody told me Neil Patrick Harris, but I could be wrong.
I think you're right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
It's amazing that that's not at the top of the article.
But yeah, I think they just announced that.
Neil Patrick Harris is playing Kiss co-manager Bill
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll figure it out in the break, though.
Does Gene have 5% on the movie?
I'm sure he does.
If you're saying Kiss in the movie, I'm getting a cut.
That's right.
But you know, biopics are all the rage now. Everybody's looking to do a biopic. Yeah. And when it first hit me, I'm like, who is there going to be a lot of people interested in a biopic about a record executive? I mean, unless you really follow the music industry, nobody knows who Neil Bogart is in the general public. It's not like the Queen movie. So I don't know where the audience is for this, but somebody said that the story is going to be so compelling that they'll find a way to sell it. So,
yeah.
Should be interesting.
Hollywood is all hopped up about anything that's a music biopic that they can do. I'm in LA every month, and it's all I hear from the people. And I've met some producers that are looking to do biopics on bands right now. So until a couple fail make money, and the bottom falls out.
The Queen thing went so well. Now everyone wants to jump on
the Queen one, the Elton one.
Yeah.
Although I didn't like the Elton one, but the Elton one did well.
Yeah.
And then the Motley Crue one. Nobody really knows how that did because it was Netflix. So there's no stats, but by all accounts, it did well.
Right.
Yeah.
So we know if Hollywood sniffs some money, just like the music industry, they're going to chase it, and that's what they're doing. So, Danny and Punky and Frank from Angel, talking a little Angel, and band is back.
Yes, we're back.
You're back.
We are back.
New record. Coming in October. Tell us about it. When did it come together? Now, you guys start playing a little bit together, and you guys go out and played live. First thing that happened was you went and played live. By the way, I just have to say this for the record. If anybody follows my travel schedule and what I'm doing, it's insane. The last 3-4 years have been the most insane schedule of my life on the road. And I'm blessed to have all the work. Trust me, I'm not complaining. But every time you guys have played in my backyard, it's like by design, just so you know, it is nothing personal.
Oh, no.
I love you. That's why I welcome you on my show every time, because I wouldn't let you in here if I didn't like you.
Well, your best friend was there.
Eric is there all the time.
Your brother's always there. Don's there all the time.
And they all come back. The guys were asking about you. I'm like, you did tell them I'm in like L.A. or Florida or Houston or that's Oklahoma hilarious. Or whatever. It's just the timing has sucked, but I will get there, and I want to get there.
Yeah,
cool. And now it's maybe it's better I stay away because it seems to be building.
Yeah,
maybe staying away is keeping it.
Yeah, it's back to the Angel thing now, which is really cool.
But the vibe of you guys, the decision. Tell me about the decision, because as I said, you were out individually doing your own things. Then you started doing some stuff together. When was it just? Was it a conversation? Was it a meeting? Or is it just like, this makes sense, let's just do it?
Well, I think we talked about it the last time we were on the show. I said it was the natural progression, I think, for us to do the next thing, which was to make a record and write together and see what happens. You know what I mean? You keep playing the same stuff, so you wanna grow a little bit more. And instead of doing our own individual records again, we decided let's make the three of us write some stuff and make another record, an Angel record.
And Danny got out and got us a deal with Cleopatra, so you got to give him his props.
You don't have to.
Tom Kiefer's new record's coming out on Cleopatra. Yeah. He was just raving about the
good
label.
Song too. I heard that.
Yeah. He was just talking about that because he was here a week or two ago. So he was saying great stuff about that label.
They're great people, man. Yeah, Brian and Tim, awesome people. You know, we all had a conference call and It worked out great. They're really good guys.
And they're really excited about the band and us. They love the band. So it was a no-brainer, you know what I mean? Because we were looking at other companies, too. But these guys were just so into us. And that's what you want. You want somebody that's really into the band.
Well, wait till you hear these guys on the album. I mean, Frank never sounded better. And Punky's crazy, man, all over. I mean, it's great stuff. It's
What's the title of the record again?
Risen.
Risen, right.
You know, we got together, us three, wrote 15 brand-new songs. We worked really hard on it. And we couldn't even pick one to release today. We figured we'd mix it, do a little heavy and melodic, but there's so much on this album, you know. It's got from real melodic to really heavy, you know. It's got everything.
It's very diverse.
It always was.
Yeah, it's really diversified.
But we mixed it all into one almost, you know. You know, you got from the beginning they were a little heavier, then they went to a little. So we utilized that and made, you know, let's do it all, you know. So I believe any Angel fan will find something on this album that they're really going to love, if not all of it. I think they'll love all of it. But, you know, these guys sound amazing. The band really kicked ass. You got Charlie Calve on keyboards, Steve O'Jane on bass, Billy O'Rico on drums.
I know Billy for years.
Yeah, so these guys all did a great job, and we're really proud of the album.
And you're back to wearing the white, right?
Yeah. The album is very diversified, too. It's the kind of album you can put on and listen from the beginning to the end, because it just goes up, and I mean, it's all over the place. Everything's so different on it that it's fun to listen to. It's a fun album.
Now, are you? I know you're doing the white again. Is there any? I mean, I know it costs money to do the stage production stuff, but is that a goal down the line? If this keeps going and progressing and money comes in, would you like to bring some of those elements in if you can?
I would love to. I mean, I don't know which one of the elements we'll bring in, but yeah, I mean, you know. Like anything else, we're progressing as we go along.
It's almost like starting over. Yeah, right. The early days.
Well, you know, technology has come a long way too. So there's so many things you can do on stage with lighting and all kinds of things now, with scrims behind you. So there's all kinds of things you can do now for shows. You know,
right? It would probably be a lot easier to make the talking head.
Exactly.
It was Warren Entner's face. Yeah. On
we were just talking about that. He had a gap between his teeth. I think maybe that was really David Letterman. I don't know.
That's awesome, man. Well, the stuff sounds great. The record comes out in October. You can pre-order it now, right?
Yes, you can.
On Amazon,
so go to Amazon. Is that where to get it?
In fact, I believe the song Under the Gun will be on iTunes tonight, so look out for that. Yeah, for sure.
So the song will come out, really, the first song to come out under the Angel name in a really long time.
Yeah.
And just the writing, you guys probably, Frank and Punky, hadn't written together in a really long time, right? No. Now, you each guested on each other's records recently. But to actually sit down and come back like riding a bike or what?
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was fun. I mean, you know, writing is a funny thing. Some songs write themselves quickly. Right. Other songs you got to spend a little more time on, you know. But I mean, everything came out great. And so he did an amazing job on writing the lyrics and stuff.
Absolutely.
And really, really good. So we're excited.
And the other thing is that both of you guys can still do what you have done well.
Even better. I think it's better myself.
Punky's playing, Frank's voice. I mean, just killer. So that's the good thing. If we're talking about a band coming about, oh, man, these guys, I mean, they still have it. Do they still have it? No. And if people have seen you live, you can absolutely still do it, which is great. You still giving vocal lessons,
Yes,
Frank?
I am.
In Vegas, you do that?
Yeah. I started doing some stuff on Skype, too, which was challenging at first, but I got a handle on it now. So it's always fun. Doing vocal lessons reminds me of what I got to do again, too. You know, it's a reminder.
You in
shape. Yes, it does. Yeah.
I got to take some lessons.
I
wish I could do anything, man. I wish I could just play, smoke
you
on
don't
the
play,
water.
You don't play guitar,
nothing,
bass, or
nothing. I can't. That's why I do this, Danny.
You do this really well, though. So be proud of that.
Thank you. But I've got all these artists that give me cool guitars and stuff. They're hanging on my walls. I could just play a plink one note. You know, actually, an episode of my. I was just telling you, I was just in Vegas, and I shot an episode of this Access show that I'm doing, which you guys said we were talking off air. Yes, I was wearing an Angel hat in one. Yeah. You guys said you heard of that.
That's awesome. Right. Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
So this show I do on Access TV, I did this this show, Trunk Fest. I did an episode in probably the most non-rock one I've ever done, which was at a festival called Hangout. If you watched it, aired a couple weeks ago. It was on a beach, 19-year-old people running around, EDM, Cardi B, and I'm doing all my host raps wearing an Angel baseball hat.
That's awesome. That's
cool. This is a message to the Rockers. I'm still with you guys.
That's cool. That's awesome.
I'm glad you guys heard about it, because I did as well. I got like a bunch of emails like, is that an Angel logo on your hat?
That's awesome.
And then the next question was, where do I get one? And I said, I don't know, because I don't know who gave it to me.
Yeah. You better start printing some up then, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to get some.
But I think that was a fan that actually made that thing and gave it to me.
You could be right.
That was really cool. That was impressive. We really dug that. We love you, man. It was cool.
It was my way of saying it's nothing personal about not making the shows, guys. Look, I'm representing on TV, too. Again, pre-order that record coming out in October. You can pre-order it now. Just Amazon? Is that the best place to go?
Amazon, yeah. I think they're going to premiere the song tonight. You could download it on or get it on iTunes. Cleopatra Records, great guys. And yeah, October 4th, that's when the release is.
And there's also vinyl, too, double vinyl.
Oh, double vinyl album.
Yeah, it's a gatefold, opens up. It's white vinyl. It's really cool.
And you mentioned off the air, in addition to all the new original songs like we just heard, you actually did a re-record of Tower.
Yes, the Tower. Yeah. Yep.
And what did – now, I had a chance to listen to it yet, but did you do anything dramatically different to it?
It's a little heavier, I guess, probably sounding, because, of course, recording's different now than it was back
You know
then,
what is different? It's got the parts that were on Live Without a Net incorporated into the studio version now.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like, there's a heavier part in Live Without a Net in the middle. And also, it's got a cool little keyboard intro that's in there, you know, when the music kicks in. Mm-hmm. So we put that in there, but they kind of wanted us to keep it close to the original as well for licensing and stuff.
Very cool. All right, we got some people that want to say hi. We got a few minutes here before we have to wrap up, so let's get to these phone calls of Angel fans. Want to say hi to you guys. We start with Tim, who's in Dallas. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Tim?
Hey, not much. Hey, where was the Angel at Midnight reportedly filmed? And the reason I ask is I got a gig poster from Randy Gregg, who got it from you, Frank.
Yes.
And it's for Santa Monica Civic Center in 76, and it actually says Angel at Midnight.
Yeah.
And was that the show?
That was the show. That was the very first Angel at Midnight show, yeah.
And then we did some filming, too, on a stage lot, too. And also we did some filming.
Well, that was for the supposedly movie that was released.
Was Angel at Midnight the movie? No.
Angel
at
Midnight was just the show. Well,
We did a show at midnight?
Yes. And we went on stage at midnight at Santa Monica Civic.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, Tim. Let's say hello to, let's see here. Dave, who's in Pennsylvania, has been waiting a long time. Go ahead, Dave.
Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Eddie, you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to ask about the Neil Bogart biopic, but I have some other questions.
Sure.
Okay. I'm curious if you guys ever toured with Kiss.
No. Never played with Kiss. No.
Kiss would not let us play with them.
Punky has told that story before, because Gene, of course, had those guys, you know, saw you guys early on, suggested you to Casablanca and all that. But there was like a mandate, is that band's never playing with us, right?
That's right, yeah.
And I think it was, you know, we're on the same label.
Neil called us back after we were, you know, looking for the record deal. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll sign the band sight unseen, because Gene Simmons says under no circumstances will Angel ever open for Kiss.
That's a nice badge of honor to wear for sure, man. That's pretty cool. Let's say hello to Bill.
It's cool that it doesn't pay the bills.
Well, it didn't help you. Yeah, Bill in Jersey.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey,
what's up, man?
All right, Punky.
Yeah.
Did you meet Jimi Hendrix at Electric Lady Studio?
It wasn't Electric Lady, it was a record plant. I happened to be in New York one weekend when I was just a kid, and Hendrix came walking. See Paul Scene, and Rick Derringer was a house band there, and Hendrix came walking in, and he had just lost Mitch Mitchell and Retinal Redding, so he was looking for a band to record. So he knew we were in a band, so he invited us up to the studio for 3 days, so we were in the studio with Jimi Hendrix, and I mean, it was like a dream come true, because Hendrix was the god to me, you know, and it was just the coolest time of my life. But yeah, it was awesome, man.
Did you actually
did
get
he
to-
keep asking you about your name? Where did you get that name? Because that's what I read. Where did you get the name Punky?
I've had that my whole life. I mean, my parents were nickname prone, I guess. But there's pictures of me Punky at one, Punky at two. You know,
oh, so, really?
Yeah, I've had that
your
my whole
life. Your parents called you Punky?
Yeah, I've had that my whole life. I was born with that name, so, you know.
That is wild.
It wasn't made up.
Wow.
There's also a book out called Punky, A Mouse for a Day. Pick it up. It's really cool. It's about this mouse. Every day he gets bigger and becomes a squirrel the next day, then, you know, a dog the next day, and he gets bigger and bigger. Finally, at the very end, it's a question mark. How big will he get?
Oh, my God.
Thank you for that call. Let's say hello to Chris, who's in St. Louis. Hey, Chris, you're on with the guys in Angel. What's going on?
Hey, Punky and Danny, it's your buddy Chris from Contamination Fest. How are you?
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I just want to tell you guys congrats on the new record. I'm very proud of you. I knew this was something that was going to happen.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
I'm really, really happy for you, and I'm imagining that this is probably going to be something that all of us are going to be just completely blown away by.
Oh, you will be. It's awesome. We're going to be out that way pretty soon out in the Midwest again, too, and we're also doing the West Coast, so we'll be out there.
Oh, well, I'll be looking forward to hanging out with you guys again.
Cool. Awesome, man.
Take care, Chris.
Good talking to you.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. We'll see you.
All right, man. Angel, back in the day, your biggest audiences in America were the Midwest? Was that where you did really well?
Midwest and the East Coast,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the East Coast.
Yes.
Well, you know, the Midwest is where everybody toured, started the tours, because Midwest, you know, Cleveland rocks. I mean, that's the Midwest was the best for all bands because they just love St. rock Louis, and roll. I mean, look at Cleveland. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is out there. I mean, the Midwest was the best. It really was.
I remember talking to Scott Gorham of Thin Lizzy and asking him about what, you know, about touring back then. And he said, we did great until we saw water. I said, what do you mean? He goes, East and West Coast? Nobody gave a shit. As long as there's no oceans? He said, we did great.
That's funny.
Great business in the middle of the country.
That's funny.
He said, as long as we're on the saw no ocean on the waters, we were all good.
We were pretty cool on both West Coast and East Coast, so people dug us.
Somebody sent me a photo of the Palladium here in New York City, which I went to shows at as a kid. It's no longer there. And the marquee was, I think it was, I don't remember what order, but it was Angel.
Oh, Angel Judas Priest?
No, it was Angel Stars Piper.
Piper, right.
Oh,
yeah. We would have headlined that.
I believe you did. Yeah. And Billy Squire's first band, which I still love those two records.
Yeah.
And Angel, I was like, man, if I could have a time machine, I would love to see that show.
That was a great venue, that place. It was really awesome. Yeah. It was a cool place.
I would love to have seen that show. Jeff, go ahead, Jeff, in Ohio.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Good to talk to you guys.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's happening, Jeff?
Not too much, man. I'm a lifelong Angel fan. I'm actually sitting in Target parking lot.
Ah.
That song cranked up, man. People are driving.
You're waiting until October 4th for the album to come out, right?
Yeah.
You gotta sit Target. He's pre-ordering at Target right now.
He's going to be sitting in that parking lot till the 4th, right? That's awesome, man.
Quick question. When you guys do tour in the United States, please, please, please don't bypass Cleveland. Please.
We'll play anywhere. But believe me, it's not up to us. Unfortunately, it's not up to us. I mean, we're ready to play anywhere, and anyone who wants us, we'll go there. But
that's the same old story I tell fans all the time. You guys don't pick where you play. Where the offer is.
Right.
Two more quick calls before we run out of time. I want to get these folks in. We only have 2 minutes left. Steve in Michigan. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. Punky and Frank.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How you doing?
Good.
I've been a huge fan since the early days.
Cool.
Real quick, Steve, go ahead because I'm short on time.
My favorite Angel album is White Hot. Are you guys doing Under Suspicion on this tour?
Not on this tour.
We almost did. We worked it up. There wasn't enough time for that, but we almost did it. We worked it up. It sounded great. But
It'll probably be on one of the tours, but it's not on this one, this particular one. Sorry.
That's a great song, though. It's a
great
song.
Hang in there.
Eric in New York, real quick, Eric.
Yeah, Punky, I want to ask you something. You made an album before Angel by a band called Bucks.
Right.
We Come to Play was the name of the album. Does Eddie know about that album? And if he doesn't, he needs to get a copy.
I've never heard it, but I'm aware of it. But I've actually never heard it.
Yeah, that was Ralph Moorman.
It's a great record.
That was Ralph Moorman, the singer who later
Joe Perry Project.
Right after that, and Ralph and I worked together for a couple of years. And it was originally the band was called Daddy Warbucks, but we couldn't use that name, so it was shortened to Bucks. But Jack Douglas produced that album, so that was a fun album. And Ralph, of course, is a great singer. So
All right, well, great guys, thank you, man. This was so much fun. By the way, Neil Bogart is going to be played by a Broadway actor. named Jeremy Jordan in that movie. So there's all kinds of information online. That is, awesome. They better get some love for Angel in that.
That's absolutely.
Right, man. Danny,
absolutely.
Get on it right
I'm
now.
On it, man.
Dispatch Danny Farrell.
That's right, brother.
Guys, it's great to see you.
Same here. Thanks for having us, Eddie.
Congrats on the new again, song. Thank new you. Record is coming in October. Everybody pre-order now. Angel Risen is the title, right?
Yes.
Sounding great. It's always good to see you. Well, my thanks to Frank, and my thanks to Punky, and earlier, my thanks to Pat Travers, and thank you for listening. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, at Eddie Trunk. There's Instagram, at Eddie Trunk, fan page on Facebook, and, of course, EddieTrunk.com is my official online home. All of my appearances are there, all the information you need about stuff coming up, and music news updated daily, so be sure to check it out when you get a chance. And be sure to listen each and every Thursday for a new episode of the Eddie Trunk podcast. If you're attending Exit 111, I'll see you this weekend in Tennessee. And if you're on board the Megadeth cruise, I'll see you on board that at various points as well. You guys have a great week, and I'll catch you next Thursday. Thanks to Katie Irizarry. She puts it all together for me, and I'll catch you in a week.